Chevy Equinox with forward collision alert, automatic emergency braking, and available all-wheel drive. It's my ultimate mobile device. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com to schedule a test drive. Chevy Equinox. It's your choice. Own it.
We've got a couple of A-list interviews we wanted to share with you in a little while, details about the SpongeBob musical that'll be world premiering in Chicago, SpongeBob SquarePants musical that sounds like it's going to be pretty cool. I'll tell you more about that later. Plus, we talked with Tom Higgleston from the Plain White Tees, who is among the artists who wrote a song for the musical. So we're going to get to that. We're actually going to hear the song that he wrote for the musical as well, coming up in a little while. But first, before we get to that, one of my favorite A-listers in the world was in Chicago this past week as well, talking about his new movie. You know Hugh Jackman from so many amazing movies. Talking about the Oscars, didn't he host the Oscars twice, I think? I think he's just one of the most talented, singing, dancing, does it all. Wolverine from the Marvel comic movies. He's in a new movie that opened this week called Eddie the Eagle, the story about Eddie Edwards, who was a British Olympic ski jumper. Not especially good Olympic ski jumper, but he was a guy who had a dream to be in the Olympics and qualified to be in the 1988 Calgary Games. And in this movie, Eddie is coached by Hugh Jackman's character in the film. I like the movie. It's very uplifting. It's very positive. It's about Eddie Edwards' story, but in a bigger sense, this movie is about not letting obstacles get in your way, not letting anything stop you if you have a dream to do something. So I'm recommending the movie. I gave it a Dean's List B. But when Hugh Jackman and the young actor Taron Egerton, who plays Eddie the Eagle, were in Chicago, we had the opportunity to sit down and talk with them both. So congratulations on the film.
Thank you, man.
Really, really enjoyed it. We'll talk more about that in a second. But here's what I'm focused on. I'm paralyzed, terrified of heights. So the whole time I'm watching this movie, I am literally holding onto the seat.
Yeah.
Like I'm about to take off into space. Watching what seemingly you both are doing. And we're atop the Dana Hotel, about the same height that this kind of jump would take place.
Yeah.
It's amazing that a human being would actually do that, don't you think?
Beyond amazing. And when we sat up there doing the scene, both of us were, and we had a little ropes attached to us just in case. Even with that, it was terrifying, right?
Yeah, I mean, what those guys do every day. But they are a completely different species, right?
Yeah. I think it's called nuts.
I think it is called
nuts. Very rock and roll.
But they love it. Yeah. They live for it. They've just got that adrenaline thrill-seeking thing in their bones, I suppose.
So how much of actual anything did you do? Okay, from the actual
We both do some skiing, right? Yeah. On the outrun of the jumps, the final part. But I think, we can't lay claim to anything that's in the air. We left that to the pros.
Yeah.
Because we're not completely crazy.
Because you're not nuts.
Yeah.
But I think Dexter Fletcher, the director, did an amazing job of capturing that feeling. Because, we watch it on TV, but in this, I mean, he had people jumping, two guys at once, going down, the guy behind with a camera on one take, because the ice had heated up, the guy behind overtook the one in front and clipped his shoulder, and they land. I mean, it's a really crazy sort of sport, but in the end, it's one of those movies that's great to see on the big screen because you really get that feeling.
You sure did. It was shot so well.
Yeah.
How much Eddie awareness did you have before you got involved with this project?
I have to confess, it was before my time, so
I did check. You were 1 year old when the jump took place. So
no.
You can be
minus
forgiven.
One.
No.
Minus one.
I was 89. Not even a twinkle just yet. Probably a pre-twinkle. probably the phone call that set up the date where the...
Wow, that's graphic.
That's a real bit of detail for you. But yeah, I mean, what drew you to the script?
I was
a huge fan, right? Yeah.
In Australia, he was like a folk hero. Because, he's the epitome of just having a go. But I sort of presumed, and most Aussies, I think, thought he was a bit of a prankster.
you know, just this guy who's like, oh, I'm going to be in the Olympics. And he used to look down the barrel of the, you know, before jumping, he'd say, hello, mum, you know, all that stuff. But actually, that was a cover for a very serious ski jumper who loved it and respected the sport and overcame many, many, many obstacles. The British Ski Association, these barons, just about everybody to do it. And it's a very inspiring story.
I always say that, you know, movies that are about sport need to be about so much more than the actual sport itself.
Right.
And this movie really is about facing whatever obstacle that you may have in your life.
Totally.
And trying in some way to overcome that. For either of you, was there an obstacle like that you just thought, I am never going to take my eye off that ball. I may never achieve it, but I'm never going to stop trying.
Yeah, I think acting for me was one thing that, I mean, I didn't get my first job until I was 26, and I did 4 years of drama school. But when I first started at drama school, and I had a great love for it and desire to be learning it, but it didn't necessarily come easily. I remember feeling this is, everyone seems different to me. Everyone was way cooler. Faded leather jackets, smoking, they were all sort of Brando-y kind of, and I was like, hey. it just took a while, but underneath was this kind of desire, I suppose, I never lost,
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I mean, it's a bit of a cop-out, but a very similar answer, really, you know? I mean, trying to get into acting and you have all your kind of crippling self-doubts and insecurities. I think that's the kind of thing that's great about Eddie, is that he's the one person who really believes in himself, and not in any kind of unattractive, egotistical way. He just has that security in himself. He goes, I am going to do this. I can do this. And I think that's why he's such an inspiring figure.
Right. Can you imagine Hugh Jackman not being the coolest guy in any room? Like, I can't see you ever.
Well,
like, you're the dorky guy
in
any social setting. I mean, you've spent time with him making this movie. It's the coolest and nicest guy ever, right?
Yeah, totally. His reputation is very, very, very well deserved. Seriously cool. Seriously lovely.
There's one girl I studied with. It just reminded me. It was like a breakup party, like the end of the year. And I remember we were at a nightclub and, everyone had a few too many drinks. She came down and she's like, hey, I can't even remember. And I was like, hey, Owen. And she just looked at me and she goes, you're too nice. You'll never make it because you're too nice. And then she walked off. I haven't spoken to her since.
People think they can say. Right?
And I just remember sitting there with her.
Oh, well, she wasn't right. So.
Did you think for a second?
Yeah, not nice at all.
Did you think for a second maybe I ought to, be different?
Well,
maybe
no,
she's
I do remember thinking.
Yeah, because the formula's not working.
Yeah, it's not working clearly, not working at all.
There's that classic idea that you have to be a tortured artist to be a decent artist,
right?
You know, and I remember for a while when I first started acting, I was like, right, I've got to be digging in. What's going on? My parents broke up. Right, there's got to be some, like, fine. And after a while, you just went, aren't we just pretending? Like, actually, every emotion, every situation is available
to
everyone, right?
Completely with you. It's all about imagination.
But
right?
There was about 3 to 6 months where I was made to feel guilty that I was, like, somehow I'm not digging enough or something.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't worry about it. It's all there.
So I was happy when I walked in to see your nose.
Yeah.
Without the bandage on.
Yeah.
And you seem you've gone, I don't know, is it 4 or 5 times now?
Four on the schnoz, one on my arm. Wow. I'm paying, apparently all of these skin cancers, which by the way, there's 3 levels of skin cancer. Mine is the mildest form. That's all from sunburn when I was a teenager. They said it usually takes 20, 30 years to kind of come to becoming cancer. So when I was growing up, there was no sunscreen, really. None of us wore sunscreen and hats or anything like that. So wear sunscreen, and if you're like me, get checkups regularly. It's completely preventable as long as you get checkups.
I remember when I was a kid, we're about the same age, that we not only would not put sunscreen on, we would put oil on to fry ourselves even more.
Yeah, we
to
had
intensify whatever damage was happening even more.
And at least you grew up in Chicago, Dean, right? I'm presuming. Did you?
Yes, well,
at least you had a period of the year where there was no sun.
A period of the year that's gloomy, right?
Well, in Australia, no, there was no period of no sun, and the ozone layer, which we also didn't know about, was this thin. So it was exacerbated. But it's wherever you are in the world. It's we used to have that rule that you had to burn and peel twice at the beginning of the summer. Then you were safe.
Right.
If you burned a bill twice, you wouldn't burn anything.
Horrendous.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, I'm glad you're doing well.
Yeah, after several bouts of skin cancer there for Hugh Jackman. Hugh Jackman and Taron Egerton, the stars of the new movie Eddie the Eagle.
you're looking for something that's, you know, just nice and positive. It's a very entertaining movie. Recommending that one to you. I give that a Dean's List B. This week, there's a new movie called Triple Nine, kind of a cop heist film, Dean's List C. And this Gods of Egypt, really not good at all, to tell you the truth. Gave that one a Dean's List D. All the focus this weekend, though, is on the Oscars. I shouldn't say all the focus is on the Oscars, because last night the Independent Spirit Awards were given out in Santa Monica, California. These are awards for independent films, of which several are also nominated for Academy Awards. For example, the movie that took the top prize last night at the Independent Spirit Awards was the movie Spotlight, which I'm predicting will be a winner tonight as well for Best Picture. It took five wins last night and for the Independent Spirit Awards. Tom McCarthy, who Shawnee was just talking about a few minutes ago, won Best Director last night because it's an independent film. Brie Larson, who I expect to win Best Actress tonight for the Academy Awards, won Best Female Lead for her movie The Room. There is a young actor, probably can't be, he might be 10 or 12 years old now. He is essentially the lead actor in this movie called Beasts of No Nation. It's about a group of young people who are displaced and turned into refugees during the atrocities in, I know the actor is from Ghana. I don't know if the movie was set in Ghana or Nigeria, one of the African nations where civil war was going on. It's a very compelling movie. One of the movies that should have been considered for an Academy Award, but, you know, and the actors in it, but didn't. Anyway, this young actor, Abraham Atah is his name, is fantastic, should have been nominated something for an Oscar. He won Best Male Lead Actor last night in the Independent Spirit Awards. So that was an interesting set of events. And also last night, always the night before the Academy Awards, the Razzie Awards are given out. These are the, quote, awards for the worst movies of the year. And there was a tie for this. 50 Shades of Grey and Fantastic Four tied for Worst Picture of the Year. Each of them also got four other awards for worst acting, worst, for example, 50 Shades of Grey, worst screen combo for the actors who were in the motion picture. Eddie Redmayne, who won Best Actor at the Academy Awards last year, was called the worst supporting actor this year for his role in the movie called Jupiter Ascending. This year, it's got to be a first for the Razzie Awards. Not a single Adam Sandler award given out. Usually Adam Sandler dominates the Razzie Awards. But Jamie Dornan from 50 Shades of Grey won Worst Actor. Dakota Johnson from 50 Shades of Grey won Worst Actress. I told you about Eddie Redmayne. Worst Supporting Actress, Kaley Cuoco from Alvin and the Chipmunks. Fantastic Four, in addition to tying for Worst Film of the Year, Worst Remake, and also Worst Director for director Josh Trank there. So that covers all of the movie fronts. We're going to go over some of the Academy Award, what you can expect on tonight's Academy Award show. It's coming up in our next hour. Plus, my conversation with Tom Higginson from Plain White Tees. You'll hear for the first time anywhere the song that he debuted that will be in this new SpongeBob musical that will make its world premiere this coming summer in Chicago. Also, actor Anthony Rapp, a huge Broadway star, going to be in studio with us live on WGN.